out of the bed. We're going to be in 2 Kings this morning. If you want to turn your Bibles, bring your Bibles to church. Bring them. Yes. Mark them up. Yes. Mark on them. Put on this date on the, right at this part of the scripture right now. I'll tell you why. Because you know what? If you don't, the Bible says it is written. The reason the word is written, that it is evidence that there is power in the word. Okay, the Lord could have came and instructed us. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us, but we need the word of God to follow. It is the written document. It is still a law, and the enemy has to abide by that law. Amen. We've been redeemed. We've been set free, and under God's grace, amen, we are no longer, and I'll be preaching about it a little bit today, but we are not in that same place. I'll tell you what, we need to be holy because God is holy. But, you know, there's a law. So there's important that we understand the word of God. There's a scripture that the Bible said it's a sword, and we'll be there today. It cuts asunder. Sometimes we think we can fight in the flesh and then it's a weapon, but it doesn't fight that way. Amen. The sword fights the battle for us. We just hold on. Amen. 2 Kings. The title of today's message is, Have You Tried God in the Impossible? Has anybody got anything impossible going on right now? Anything look impossible? Well, have you tried God in the impossible? 2 Kings in chapter 6 this morning. Bring your Bibles, but we'll have it on the overhead. Amen? Bring your Bibles. It shows to the world that who you are. Are we embarrassed of God today? Let's start carrying our word like we should be. Amen? I'm speaking to myself as well. Verse 1 said this, And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, See now that the place where you dwell is too small for us. Sound familiar? Please, let us go to Jordan and let every man take a beam from there. And let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, Go. Then one said, Please, consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one cutting down a tree, an iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man said, Where did it fall? And he showed him that place. And he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron to float. Therefore he said, Pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. So the man of God said, Where did it fall? And I say, Where did I fall that God can pick me up? Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Lord, institute right now from heaven. Instruct our hearts to receive. Command us, God, to lay hold of this word this morning. For Lord, you are a supernatural God. You can lay hold of us, Lord. Lord, but you choose. You say, we are partners in this thing, God. Lord, you would never command, but you say, Lord. But today we ask of our own hearts, each one of us say, Lord, help us to lay hold of this word, that, Lord, we would be able to look past the impossible and see God this morning. And, Lord, where we have failed, where we have fallen, where we fall short, forgive us, Lord, and put us back on track today. Let us not get meleeed by the things that go on in our life, Lord, holding us back. Let us not, when we see others entering into the times of blessing, stand back and say, why? But Lord, just enter in to understand, Lord, what do we do to become the blessings of God? What do we do, Father, to be the healed of God? Lord, what do we be to be the strength for others for God? And this morning, Lord, we thank you that you are the God of impossible. For you, we can do all things through you, Lord, and that's your word. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings 6 said this, And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, See now this place where we dwell is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan. Let us every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place that we may dwell. This story in 2 Kings is our story, that we find ourselves in this very place. This is our story. This may have been a story of thousands of years ago, but this is our story. This place is too small. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. See now, the place where you dwell is too small for us, for we have been prophesied over us, for we work for the work that we are to perform, and this place is too small, and we have a big part to play. You know, this church, well, you know what? This church is a beautiful building. And God, in the wintertime, now that we've hit the cold season, and believe me, it's been cold. Josh got his heater fixed this week, so Josh is doing a little better. Pray that my heater gets put in because we're on wall heaters. And that's probably part of my sickness because it's real hot or it's real cold in the church. But you know what? God's got a plan. There's a guy's going to come to fix. But you know what? This house is too small for us here. We have a work to do. I know that we're going to see our food bank back open. I know that we're going to see the college going. Our youth is going to be packed. I know all these things. And you know what? This is adequate for now. But this is not adequate for what God has spoken over us. 2 Kings 2, 6 and 2 said this. And please let us go to Jordan and let every man take a beam from there. And let us make there a place where we may dwell. Pastor Dennis and Pastor Denise are not the ones to build this church. This is a work for every one of us. We all have to pick up our own beams and carry them where we are going. This isn't a church, you know, though, even though when we left, there was a lot put on our shoulders. And we understand that, and we thank our pastors, we thank our leadership, we thank you for picking up the beam. You know, we all had to pick up a little part and take it. When we went in the yard, we all had to do a little something. We all had to bring our beam. Amen? Sometimes I think that, you know, some of us take a little bigger stick than the rest. Some of us look for the smallest twig, too. But we all have to pick up our own beams and carry them to where we're going, or should I say, our own cross to where we're going. Matthew 10 and 34 says this, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against the father, a daughter against mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those in his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Why would a good man, good father, bring division among family when our father is the restorer of families? Why would God say that? These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, I came with a sword to cut. Why did he say that he would cause mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, father against son, sons against daughters, or sons against mothers? Why would he say something like that when he's a God that restores families? He's restoring families today. I guarantee you, he's restoring your family today. But why would God say that? He said that for a reason. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What is he thinking with a statement like that? Because Jesus knows how we are and that we have been washed of our old nature, but we still have rebellion nature in us, and we will want to do things our old way. We still want to, even though we're in this church today, even though we're washed and cleansed and we're sanctified and we're under grace, thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God for mercy. Even though we're in that mercy and that grace of God, we still have a lot of our old ways. Am I speaking to anybody today? Do not look at the person next to you and say that. Say, that is me, Lord. We still have a rebellion spirit. After Adam and Eve were in the garden, do you know what they did? They were made perfect in God. They still had a rebellion spirit. We have that as well. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm not like I used to be. Thank God. If you do what you do now, I don't want to see what you were. No, we're all the old nature. Though some of us were worse than others, we all need Christ. Not one could have made it on their own. We all have to carry our own cross. Unfortunately, sometimes we think that carrying that cross is enough without applying its benefits. What does the benefits, the cross benefit? Anyone? What does the cross benefit? Does anybody know? Does anybody know what the cross benefits? Well, let's look. Galatians 3:10 said this. For as many are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law and do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Listen, the tree or the cross represents the curse Jesus took for us and hung himself on the cross. Because we should have been put to death by the law, we are all guilty according to the law. And the debt was paid, and Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we are no longer cursed because of that cross. That cross saved our life. That not only saved our life, but gave us eternal life. Well, no, wait a minute. It's not the cross, it's Jesus. Understand something here. The cross has its benefits. Though Jesus went on there, it took the cross for Jesus to go there. That same beam that we need to pick up every day. He said in this church, he said, now go, each one of us, and take a beam. Each one of us has a part. Each one of us have to carry our own cross today. Some of us are looking for somebody else to carry our cross. Oh, I'm not going because they won't take my cross for me. Oh, we always got a reason not to do something. But I tell you today, you have a part to play in it. It isn't for everybody else. It's an individual life. We all have a part to play. We all have a beam to carry. So never say, I'm tired of carrying that cross. I want to do things my own way. Why is it we almost always want to quit because someone else in our household or the church? I'm going to quit the church. I'm leaving the church because I'm a bad person. I never hear that. I'm going to leave the church because, I just look too good in this place. No. I'm leaving the church because someone offended me. I'm leaving the church because somebody else. I'm disgruntled with the church because I never hear anybody say, I'm the problem, I'm leaving. Well, they do when they're mad. Gives them the final excuse. Well, I'll just leave. Come on. Matthew 10 and 34 said, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Why? Why did God warn us about the biggest problems would be in our own households? Why did God say how important it was to carry the cross in this part of Scripture? Let's read it again. Matthew 10 and 34 said this, do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? I did not come to bring peace but a sword, for I have come to set man against his father and daughter against her mother and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy with those in his own household. For he loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Did he really say that he doesn't want us to love anyone else but him? Did he say that? No, but that's his word. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Unless you love me more than anybody else. Sounds like my wife. You might be Jesus. No, he didn't mean that. He was giving us a fine example, though. Because some of us love other things more than we love him. Some of us love people more than we love him. Some of us love position more than we love him. Some of us love wealth more than him. There's always something that comes before him. And he's saying, he'll use the closest things to us, the ones we love the most. He will use those, the ones that love us the most, to hurt us. No, he's saying that the only that there is only one way that he's going to be able to love anyone else is by loving him first. See, unless we love God first, we can love nobody. Unless we can trust in God more, we can trust in nobody. See, if we learn to love, to have perfect love, cast out all fear, is the scripture. Perfect love casts out all fear. And when I can learn to love God that loves me so much, that never fails me, then anybody else fails me, it's okay, because I got one that will never fail me. If I can learn to love him, then I can start to see myself, because you know what? When I love God, who fails God? Me. And far too often in people's life that people have failed us and people were angry right now, people we just don't like anymore, you know what happened? We don't love God. Because the truth of the matter, when I love God, I see how I fail God, and then I see myself, and then I can understand how they fail me. I can no longer get offended in somebody else being offended in me, because I know that I have failed God. Listen, the sword he talked about is the word of God that tells us, warns us of the attack of the enemy and the flesh. Don't you know right? Don't you know it? Right when you're doing the greatest work of God, the attack is going to come from within? Right when we're doing the best work, man, it comes right from within. Ask my wife. She's been with me the last week. For I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those in his own household. Oh, pastor, I'm so tired of serving God. Really? Or are you just tired of those around you? I'm just tired of working at church. I'm just so finished with it. I'm just done with church. Really? Are you just really done with all of us? People, we have been called to a greater place and a greater anointing, but we have all been ordered to carry out our own part. 6:2 in 2 Kings said this, "And please, let us go to Jordan, and let us every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place that we may dwell." God has a place for it. It is not in this building. This is not the finish. We're not just all of a sudden here to wait after God come. If the Lord came today, if I was struck down right now, I told my wife today, I said, forgive me, because if I die today, I want you to know I want to apologize. That's what I said before I came to the church today. Be ready. But this is not the place. This is not the day. We're only traveling right now. I tell you what, if you look back at the day when they're going out of Egypt, this is a castle.
That's right.
But this is not the place. We need to be carrying our beams. We need to be able to carry our cross today. We got to strengthen ourselves, amen. I tell you what, we might be tired of the people around us. I hope not. We got a good church. But you know what? They're the best that you got. Listen, some of us think we have arrived and it's time to unpack and take a nap. I'm in for all that. Naps are good, but the journey's not over. Who here wants to see God's miracles, signs, and wonders? I want to see the miracles. I want to see that Holy Ghost. I tell you, we have seen nothing. We haven't even touched the surface. We haven't even scratched the surface. I tell you what, we're going to see the anointing God fall. We're going to be a part of a great work of God. We're going to see miracles and people get saved. People get set free right at the door. They're going to pull in the parking lot. They're going to begin to weep. They're going to just be able to weep. They're just going to be cleansed from the inside out. We're going to see it. This is not our place. We're going to have a church. I already know. I know it's going to be grandeur. And Lord, help me to be there, Father. Shando kura mahande. Glory to God. Shondo romama bariyai. Glory. When we have been like this, one servant, when we can be like this, one servant, 6:3 said this. This one said, please consent to go with your servants. See, he wasn't even part of something. And he said, I want to go. Please let me go with them. Let me be a part of something great. I feel the Holy Ghost getting ready to do something. Have you lost that desire, people? I know every one of you. Almost. I'll get to know him in a minute. But I'll tell you what. I know every one of you guys. And I know what your heart is and you want to see God move. Have we lost that? Have we seen that desire? No, I'll tell you what, when they sold the church and said, get out. No, we went into a field and said, I'm not going to stop coming. There's a desire there. There's something within us that's been planted by God. Consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, the city cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, for it was borrowed. See, this one guy didn't even have his own tools. He wanted to go and be a part of church. So what did he do? He went and borrowed a tool. He says, I want to be a part of this. I'm going to do whatever I can to be a part. I'm not going to only carry my beam. I'm going to bring my tool. I'm going to bring my gifts. I got a gift. We got to quit looking for an excuse to quit. The word God has predestined us. See, it would have been easy for that guy to say, oh, my job's done. My axe head fell in the water. I guess I'm done. I'll just sit around. I'll just show up now. I mean, I used to do a lot of work around here more than anybody else. So it's probably somebody else's time to pick up the slack because I've been doing. No, he didn't do that. Alas, Master, I need to work. God, my tools. I've lost my gift. I've lost my tools. Lord, alas, Master. Always looking for a shortcut, reason not to do it. Well, the exhale fell in the water. We don't have to work anymore. I guess God's finished with United in Him. They sold the building. Verse 5 said this, 2 Kings 6, verse 5. But as one was cutting down the tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, Master, for it was borrowed. Maybe we should stop borrowing others' tools. Maybe we should stop coveting others' gifts. Maybe we should stop trying to be like somebody else, which you can't be somebody else. And I'm not going to do it unless I can be them. Well, you're not them. You're not able to do it. You don't have the same gifts. Start using your own tools. Don't use it as a skip. Well, I want to be them, and I can't teach, I can't do this. Well, do what you can do. Get the spatula. Get the screwdriver. Maybe someone else's gifts are not your own. Well, if I can't be in charge, I'm not going to do it. Some of us threw the tool in like they throw in the towel in a fight. I give up. I throw in the towel. I'm tired. I've been doing this for 3 weeks now. I've been here a whole week. I'm done. And some of us have thrown our gifts in like that. Some of us have said, you know what, Lord, maybe you were wrong. Oh, God, I think you were wrong. You spoke that over me and it hasn't happened. I've been faithful for a whole week. But have you tried God in the impossible? Maybe you haven't tried God in the impossible. Sometimes we quit before we try God in the impossible. Verse 7 said this, So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron to float. Therefore, he said, pick it up yourself. See, you know what? I'll tell you what. Some of us are looking for somebody to pick up the tool. Some of us are waiting for somebody. Well, I'm not growing in God because they're not teaching me. I'm not getting anywhere in the church because they're not spoon-feeding me. Oh, I just, you know, I need Bible study. I need something, but I can't seem to show up. He said, pick it up yourself. So he reached out his hand and he took it. Where did it fall? I ask you, where are you falling short today? God is about to show us our tools again. Where did it fall? God is saying, pick up the stick. Pick up your cross. Pick up your being today. United in Him, we're going on. We're going to be a church. We're going to see the miracles of God. We're going to see people healed. We're going to see people set free. We're going to see our loved ones. We're going to see our family. We're going to see them in the kingdom of God. God is not a liar. His arm is not short. I tell you what, God has spoken it. Pick up your tools today. Do you remember Moses? Some of us, our mission has turned into something else. And Jesus is saying, pick up your cross. Just because things look like they're lost doesn't mean we're finished with His work. God is wanting to do miracles to show His doing His work. That He is doing His work, and He's taking us to the place He has desired for us. We must keep a focus. And today I ask you this question. Let's stand this morning. Today I ask you this question. Where have we fallen short? Church, this morning I ask you to ask yourself. You can't look at anybody else. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. I know where my cross is. I know where I have fallen short. I know in my heart because God is faithful to reveal things in our life. He is so faithful and He is so saying this. I have spoken a word into your life. Have you dropped the word? Have you let those words fall to the ground? Or maybe they have been thrown into the water. And today God is saying, I am lifting them out of the water. Now I want you to grab them. This morning we're going to come. And I know I got plenty of time for altar time. If you got some things to go or want to go, if you're just saying, you know, that's not for me, I'll tell you.